2 weeks ago, I told you we'd get back into prayer and finish out the questions that had to deal with our prayer life. And so I want to start that today, actually kind of complete that today, but get back into that. And as we get into part two of questions about prayer, in week one, we answered the question, how do I know that God hears me? And then we talked about the things that kind of stand in the way of prayer. Why does it seem that sometimes prayers are answered? And so several questions I asked when things, when we're praying, it doesn't seem that God is answering our prayers. But week one, we pointed out this fact. Why do I know, or how do I know God hears my prayers or hears me when I pray? God says so in his word was one of the key points. And I want to read this for you again in Psalm 55, 16 through 17, just kind of a precursor to today's sermon that God does hear us when we pray. Psalm 55, 16 through 17 says this, "But I call to God and the Lord will save me. I complain and groan morning, noon, and night, and he hears my voice." There's passage after passage after passage that shows us that God hears us when we pray. The second part, the second reason why we know God hears us when we pray is that God tells us to pray. God would not call us to have a pointless conversation with him if he did not hear us when we pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray continually." 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your cares on him because he cares about you." God is a good God. He cares about you. So he does not call you to pray continually and cast your cares upon him if he doesn't indeed hear you. It is not a pointless conversation. And then the third reason we know that God hears us when we pray is that Jesus himself sets the example in a prayer habit in his life. Luke 5:16 says, "Yet he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed." Jesus would not have set that example for the disciples and for us if God did not indeed hear us when we pray. So today's question is this: how do I know he answers, and how do I know his answer, and how do I know God is leading me to do or not to do something, and how should I pray for specific direction in my life? I know that's a lot of questions, but they all boil down to really one point. It's biblical decision-making, biblical discernment. How do I know God's will? How do I line up my heart with God's heart? How do I understand that in a better way? And so we're going to get into how that deals with our prayer life today. But as we begin, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the clarity from your word that you give us. I pray that you will be clear today, that you'll speak to our hearts, that you'll speak to our minds, that you'll change our thoughts, that you'll change our hearts, Lord, to be more like you as we just sung. Lord, I pray that you'll prepare us, Holy Spirit, that you'll speak to us, and that we'll leave here changed by you, not the same as we are now. Lord, I need you to work. This is not about me. This is about you, Lord. And I pray that you'll receive glory and honor, and that you will speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first question, I know I threw it out there pretty fast, but how do I know that he answers, or how do I know God answers prayer? Well, scripture says all over that he answers prayer, and I kind of dealt with this in week one, so I just want to kind of refresh that before we get into the second question. And I said this, that God answers prayer in one of three ways. He either says yes, he says no, or he says wait. Yes prayers, how do I know he answered my prayer? A yes answer to a prayer is a pretty obvious answer to a prayer. You prayed and it happened, so it was a yes answer to that prayer. But that doesn't necessarily deal with seeking God's will, and we'll get to that. How do I know his answer is different than how do I know he answers? Okay? So a no answer is sometimes hard for us, a lot of times hard for us. We've been praying for something and it's not happened. And so, or we've been praying for something and the door was clearly shut. And so we know it's a no because that didn't happen. The time has passed. The time is over. Okay? And so that was a no. But the wait is just as hard sometimes, because sometimes we take the wait as a no and we give up and stop praying. Even though the time has not passed, let's say you're praying for salvation for somebody in your family. They're still alive. The time has not passed. It's not too late. But because they have not done it, sometimes we get discouraged and we think it's a no, when indeed it could just be a wait. And so don't take a answered prayer as far as like it didn't happen right now, yes, as a no. Those many times are wait. Keep praying. Keep seeking me. Don't give up when you think it's a no and time has not passed and the prayer could still be answered. Keep on praying and keep on praying. Keep on bringing your petitions to God. So, and I dove more into that in week one, but I just want to kind of refresh that. And so going in from there to this question, how do I know his answer? Okay, so we know he does answer. But how do I know his answer if I'm praying for something in particular? Let's say maybe you're seeking God's guidance as far as a decision for your family. You're looking to maybe move, or you're looking to possibly start a new career, or you're wondering, oh, what should we have another child? Or you're wondering all sorts of different questions that you have, and you're seeking God's answer for those questions. And maybe it's not a yes or no question. It's a, God, I want your will question. God, guide me in this, please. It's kind of the same question as this. How do I know God is leading me to do or not do something? Let me give you a simple answer to the not do something. If it's against God's word, don't do it. Okay? And so if you're praying, God, should I do this? And it's sinful, then it's a no already. And so just throw that out there. But maybe it's not a sinful thing. Maybe it's you're choosing from one good thing or the other good thing. And so you're like, God, what should I do in this situation? We'll get into that. And how do I pray for specific direction? These are all, God, I want your will. I want your way heart sets. It's the opposite of saying, God, here's my will. Here's my way. Would you please line up with it? That is many times how we approach prayer. God, I've got a will. I've got a way. I've got this figured out. Here's how I want it to be. God, bless this. The opposite of that is the heart of, man, I want to know God's answer. I want to know what God is leading. I want to know his specific direction. So how do we do that? How do we have a biblical discernment? How do we discern God's will and seek his will in our life? Today I want to look at six areas of biblical discernment, or six areas of seeking God's will in our life. And prayer is a key element to this. Number one, in order to know God's will for your life, in order to seek his answer, to know his answered prayer, to know his leading, to know his direction, you must have a relationship with him. That is key. I've seen these six areas described as a wheel. In the middle of the wheel, where it connects to the axle, is the relationship to God that you have to have. In order to know his answer, in order to seek his will, you need to have a relationship with him. That is a relationship with Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Not just a belief that he is real, but a surrendering to him and saying, God, I want your way, not my way. My only hope is you, not me. I am a sinner, lost in sin and dead in sin. I need you to come and rescue me and save me. Amen. And I want to follow you with my life. And so out of that comes a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus says this in John 10, 14 and verse 27. Listen to these words. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. See a picture of a good shepherd who is calling out to his sheep. His sheep know him, and they know his voice, and they respond to his voice by following him. As we develop in our relationship with God, we will understand his voice more and more. We will be guided by his voice more and more. We will surrender to his voice more and more. This is the process of sanctification in our lives. As God reveals things and he shows things and he says, hey, Rick, you're off here. You need to reline up here. You need to surrender here. You need to repent of this here. And hey, keep on growing here. This is a process that happens throughout our life. And it comes through hearing the voice of our master, hearing the voice of our shepherd, hearing the voice of our king, and responding to that. But that comes out of a personal relationship with him. So, in order to know his answer, in order to know his will, whether I should or should not do something, to know the direction that he has for my life, common sense is I must communicate with him, right? And common sense is, in order to know, do that, I need to have a relationship with him past just, how's it going? Past just the, hey, good morning, God. I just acknowledge that you're God and go throughout the day. Past that basic relationship. Did you know that you are called, whether you are a man or a woman, you, the church, me, the church, we are called the bride of Christ. In your relationship with your spouse, would it work well if you never talked? Ever. Or just when things got hard? Probably not. Probably not. What if you went to your spouse with your will all the time and you never sought their will ever? How would that work? Probably not great. I don't think so, at least. As we, the bride, pursue a relationship with the one who has pursued us, Jesus Christ, as we respond to the pursuer, Jesus Christ, and we follow after him in that relationship, and we communicate with him as the bride of Christ, that's when we can start to hear him. That's when we can start to know his will. That's when we start to surrender. That's when we start to say, God, not my will, but your will be done. It's past just the surface. It's going deeper in relationship. And we'll get more to this communication here in a second. But there's a picture of this in Romans. Romans 12, 1 through 2. And this is a verse you've heard me read probably 100 times. But it's a key picture to this surrendered life that we are called to have in relationship to God. And there is a key aspect to the end of this surrendered life. And it says this, Romans 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age. And so that's what we're not supposed to be. We're not supposed to be like this age, like this world, but being transformed. This is a the sanctification process that is going on throughout our lives here on earth, constantly being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our mind is being changed by God from what we wanted to what He wants and desires in our life, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. You're wanting to know His answer. We're wanting to know what He is leading us to do or not do. We're wanting to know a specific direction. It says if we surrender it to Him and allow Him to transform our mind and our thinking, He will guide us in His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's a surrendered relationship. It's key. It's the middle of the wheel there that holds it to the axle. That relationship that we have surrendered to Jesus Christ as He transforms us as His bride. So what about that communication? These are keys as far as maybe you're picturing that wheel and you think of these as being spokes to knowing God's will. And so the communication is, one of them is prayer. We have that relationship with Him. Now we're praying. We're really seeking His will. James 1, 5 through 6 says, now if any of you lacks wisdom, okay, so you're wanting to know which way you should go, what you should do. I'm wanting wisdom in this. He should ask God, who gives to all generously without criticizing, and it will be given to him. It will be given to him. If you're seeking wisdom, you want wisdom, go to God and seek that wisdom. It will be given to you. But let him ask in faith. And so you have to believe that he is going to give you this wisdom as well. Ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Like many times that describes our life. We're driven and tossed by the things around us, and they control us, and they become masters and kings of our lives. They become the things that drive us instead of the one who saved us being the one who drives us. And so this prayer life of God, I need your wisdom, I need your way, I need to know your will, and just really coming to Him in prayer. Instead of saying, I wish I knew God's will, I wish He'd just reveal His will to me, actually going to Him and saying, God, I want to know your will. Please reveal your will to me. Please guide me in this, and really knowing that He wants to show you. He is a good Father. He wants to show it to you, and so believe that He is going to answer that. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, as we read verse 17 earlier, it says, pray continually. We have rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in everything. Give thanks in everything. That's hard to do. Whatever's going on in my life, to be thankful in that. And then it says this, for this is God's will for you, that you would rejoice always and pray continually, seeking Him continually, giving thanks in Him continually in Christ Jesus. This is His will that you do this. This is, you remember the pool game as a kid, Marco Polo? Yeah, a lot of fun, okay? I've heard people do this in like stores. They can't find each other in the store, and so like the mom or the kid will be like, Marco, and then like on the other side of Meyer, you'll hear Polo, and you never heard that. It's happened. I've seen it. It's kind of funny. I enjoy when people do that. But this is like the spiritual Marco, okay? This is the, God, I'm calling out for you, Marco, please show me your will. And then what about the spiritual Polo? Where's the return? Where is it coming back? How do we know His will? What are these other spokes of knowing his will? First of all, we have to call out for it, seek it in prayer. After, well, relationship, then seek it in prayer. Okay, and then three is this. Seek God in his word. Seek God in his word, for God has spoken and is speaking through it. This is the word of God. And so you're throwing out that spiritual Marco. Let's look at the spiritual Polo, the response to our prayer. God's communication to us through his word. Psalm 119, 105, you probably may even have this hanging up in your house somewhere. This is, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Psalm 119, 105. God's word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. This is the God, I want you to guide me. And so I want, before I take the next step, God, you be the guide, and you get into his word and he's showing you what you should be doing. The response to our Marco. I've told you before that I'm an Indiana Jones fan. I like Indiana Jones. There's actually another one coming out, I think 2020. Hopefully they'll redeem the last one, because the last one was pretty bad. But the first three, good. And enjoy those movies. But The Last Crusade, which, why do you call it The Last Crusade when it's not The Last Crusade? There's two more movies, I don't know. But anyway, and so The Last Crusade, I really, really like that movie. I think it's pretty good. And so you got Sean Connery is the father of Indiana Jones in this movie. And anything you can have like Sean Connery talk during, I wish he was like the narrator of my mind. Like James Earl Jones, Sean Connery, one of those two. I wish I could just think in those voices. Like, that'd be great. If that could be my prayer voice, I would choose Sean Connery as my prayer voice. Like, there we go. But Sean Connery as the father of Indy, and so they team up in this last movie, and they're seeking the Holy Grail in this movie. If you've never seen it, I'm not going to ruin the movie for you, but there is a part in the movie towards the end where Sean Connery has been shot, okay? And so he is going to die unless he receives the water out of the Holy Grail. And so as in response to this, the son, Indiana Jones, takes his father's book and goes through all these traps to try to get to the Holy Grail so he can save his father. And in the midst of this, he is reading through the book with every step he takes. And so the first trap that he comes to, and I listed these up, is the breath of God. And so he comes to this, and he's reading through his father's book, and he's trying to figure out, what should I do? He's a penitent man, the penitent man shall pass. If you've seen this movie, maybe this is going through your mind. And so he kneels, penitent man kneels before God, and he kneels, and the blades go over his head, and he misses the blades, and so he lives through the first trap. Am I ruining the movie? Has everybody seen this movie, please? Because it is a great movie. And so as he kneels, he gets past these things. And the next trap is the name of God. And he's like, okay, the name of God, Jehovah, Jehovah. And there's all sorts of problems in this scene because it doesn't line up with like the actual alphabets and things like that and the J and stuff like that. But anyway, if you just throw that out the door, you could still enjoy the movie because it's just a really cool scene. And so he's like, Jehovah, the name of God, Jehovah, Jehovah. And so he steps on the J and he falls to the floor. And he's like, oh no, it starts with an I. Well, who didn't know that? So he steps on the eye and he goes to Jehovah and he makes it through there. But the whole time he's reading through his father's book, and then he comes to the step of faith. And it's just this big long path from like me to Derek back there or further. And it's just nothing. And he has to take this step of faith from the lion's mouth, and he just goes like this. They're like, what is that going to do? Well, I've been like, are you sure? But he like falls forward and stops. And so he stops, and the whole time he had been going through this book, and to me, That's an amazing picture of the Father who has given me His Word. And as I'm going through life and these traps are hitting me and everything is around me, I am getting into this Word and going, God, what is the next step? What do you want from me? And I know that's just a movie, but it's a cool picture of someone who is getting into his Father's Word to make it step by step through the traps of that world. And that's what we need to do. We need to get into God's Word so that He can guide my steps. So that His Word is indeed a light to my path. As you seek Him and His Word, He'll guide your steps. He may reveal sin in your life that you need to get rid of. He may reveal commands that He's already shown you before that you have not been following, that He has called you to follow and you've been ignoring. He may give you the direction to take. He'll give you peace and discernment. Psalm 33, verse 11 through verse 12, and I don't have it on the overhead behind me. As I was restudying this morning, this passage popped up and it says this: the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart from generation to generation. Happy is the nation whose God is Yahweh, the people He has chosen to be His own possession. Happy is the man whose God is Yahweh. The one who seeks His counsel. Because His counsel is there and it stands forever ready for us to hear about His plans from generation to generation. Get into God's Word. Next, 4, seek counsel from those who seek God. As we're trying to discern God's will and we've prayed and we get into God's Word, then seek godly counsel from those who are indeed seeking God. Don't just assume just because someone is in church that they are indeed seeking God. But look for those who bear fruit of those who are indeed seeking God's will in their life. And go to them and ask them to help you as you also seek God's will. Proverbs 19, 20 through 21 says this: listen to counsel and receive instruction so that you may be wise later in life. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the Lord's decree will prevail. That's a heart of, man, I want to know God's will, and I've got my plans, and I need someone to kind of step beside me, and I need them to pray with me. That's the design of the church, that we should be there with each other as we're making decisions. And so you find somebody that is really seeking God in their life and you say, hey, will you join me in this prayer as I seek God? Will you seek God with me and help me understand and discern between these things? Proverbs 12, 5 and verse 15, which won't be up here as well. It says this: the thoughts of the righteous are just, but guidance from the wicked leads to deceit. And so we're not seeking guidance from the world. That's verse 5 of Proverbs 12. We're not seeking guidance from the wicked world. We're seeking guidance from those who are also seeking God, those who are called righteous in Jesus Christ alone. And then verse 15 says this: a fool's way is right in his own eyes, but whoever listens to counsel is wise. Maybe how many times I've been foolish in my own eyes, or foolish but wise in my own eyes, thinking I got it figured out. And if I just sought counsel from those around me, then I could have avoided some pretty big headaches probably. For me, I have pastoral friends that I seek counsel from. I have both parents and in-laws that I believe are seeking God's will in their lives, and so I seek counsel from them. Before those, Rachel and I talk about our decisions as we seek counsel together. And so we have this process of talking with each other and then talking with those around us that are also seeking God's will as we seek counsel from them. Just because you go to someone and ask them to pray with you or for you doesn't mean you're a mess, even though we all are. It's just wise. It's biblical to pray with each other in this way. And so I want to encourage you, as you're seeking God's will, is he leading me in this way or not leading me in this way? Is he answering, to find godly, biblical counsel that will walk with you as you seek God's will? And five, look at the desires God has given you and the circumstances around you as you seek his will. Look at the desires God has given you and the circumstances around you as you seek his will. Philippians 2:13 says this, "For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire," both to desire and to work out the good purpose, or his good purpose. So it's God who is changing your desires, your heart's desires. And we talked about last week the Psalm 37 passage, Psalm 37, 3-5, where many times we take this out of context here and we think, well, God's just going to give the desires of my heart to me. The reality is, as you trust in the Lord and do what is good, so you're trusting in God and you're following him, dwell in the land and live securely. And it says, take delight in the Lord. You're delighting in him above everything else, and he will give you your heart's desires. He will change your heart's desire. And so God in us, as we seek him, follow him, trust him, delight in him, changes our hearts and enables us both to will and to work out his good purposes. Verse 5 of that psalm says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. So look at the things around you, the passions that God has given you, the desires that he is changing within your heart, the time that you spend. Is God adjusting those things? Are you trusting in him, delighting in him, dwelling with him, committing your way to him? Or is it still all about your will, your passion? Because you haven't pursued that relationship. You don't have a deep relationship. You don't have a real relationship with him. You are not in his word. You are not praying. You are not seeking biblical counsel. And so you still are living within your own delights and your own desires. God will use the circumstances around us to help us to grow in life, whether good or bad. God will use the things around us to develop our desires, to develop the things that we enjoy, we take delight in, our passions, our time that we spend. Romans 8:28 says this, "For we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God." All things work together, whether good or bad, for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. As I was growing up, I had absolutely no desire to stand up here on a Sunday morning. I'd seen my dad do it for years and years and years, and that was not my desire whatsoever. Not my desire to pastor a church. God changed my desires. As I surrendered to him, as I sought to follow after him, the passions, the desires of my heart changed. The things that I pursued changed. And that became a desire and a passion of mine, not because I wanted it, but because God had called me to it. And so as you look at the circumstances and desires of in your life, and you are truly, really having that heart of God, I want your will, your way, then he will within you start to change your desires. He'll open doors and he'll close doors with the circumstances around you. I tried many times to go an opposite direction, like Jonah, from being a pastor. Tried to join the military twice. God shut that door twice. I was going to be a missionary in the Czech Republic. God shut that door. And so there's door after door after door that as I was praying and seeking godly counsel, people would say, well, maybe it is God's will. Maybe it's not. Let's just see what he does. Does he open the door? Does he close the door? And so as we sought that and the circumstances around my life started to change, clarity came. And it came because the Holy Spirit works in this as well. As we see the desires and circumstances around us change, as we're in the Word, as we're seeking godly counsel, as we're praying, and we have that relationship, the Holy Spirit within us will guide us through our lives. 1 John 2:27 says this, the anointing you received from him, and this is speaking of the Holy Spirit, that anointing, the anointing you received from him remains in you. In you, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. Instead, his anointing teaches you about all things. And is true. And is not a lie. Just as he has taught you, remain in him. And so the Holy Spirit will teach us through God's word as we get into it. So this is how the Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks through the Word of God. He speaks through revealing the work of God. And he speaks through developing convictions in our lives. And I want to point to these three things. John 14:26, speaking about coming, teaching the Word of God. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him in my name. He will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. And so he will teach us all things and remind us everything that God, that Jesus has told them. Where are Jesus' words recorded? In the Bible. And so the Holy Spirit teaches us God's word through the Bible. Next, the Holy Spirit reveals how God is working. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And so he reveal around us the things that God has called us to do, the right things, the yes things, the true things. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. And so the Holy Spirit was working in this way. 1 Corinthians 2, and it's not going to be on the overhead. 1 Corinthians 2. This is another one of those as I was studying this morning, it popped up, and so 1 Corinthians 2:10-13, talking about how God reveals his plan, reveals his purpose of salvation, but this is how the Holy Spirit continues to work, and God used the Holy Spirit to do this in or reveal this in the church and continues to reveal it in us as God is working today. 1 Corinthians 2:10-13 says this, now God has revealed these things, speaking about the plan of salvation, to us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who among man knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of the man that is in him? So basically saying, you don't know what I'm thinking. Only I know what I'm thinking. And so the Holy Spirit in the same way is the only one who knows what God is thinking. And so he reveals God in this world and how God is working in this world and ultimately his plan in this world to save. Going on, man that is in him, in the same way no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received a spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. We also seek these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. And so the Holy Spirit reveals to us how God is at work in this world and how we are to join him in that and ultimately through the plan to save this world through Jesus Christ. Lastly, God speaks through the convictions he gives us, the developing inner conviction in us. John 16:8-10, when he comes, he will convict, speaking of the Holy Spirit, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so, the Holy Spirit reveals sin in our lives. The Holy Spirit reveals ultimately that we are not righteous, that we need Jesus Christ, and reveals the way of righteousness to us, and reveals the fact that there is judgment to come, so that we know that, and the world knows that as well. So, as we work through these spokes of the wheel, as we see this picture of the relationship we have with God, and we are surrendering to him as Lord of our lives, Savior of our lives, we are pursuing him in prayer, these spokes, and we have a seeking him in God's word, because God speaks through his word and has spoken and continues to speak through his word. As we seek biblical counsel, as we look at the desires and the circumstances in our lives, and we have the Holy Spirit and we're listening to him through the word, looking how God is working, looking at the convictions that he is laying on our hearts and our lives. And that's how we know God's will. That's how we know if he is answering or guiding us in a certain direction, whether we should pray this way or that way. And as you do those six things, ask these three questions. Does this answer that we've come up with, you've been praying and you've come up with, okay, I think this is what God wants me to do. I think this is the direction he wants me to go in. I've sought the counsel. I've been in his word. It seems so clear. Ask this. Does this answer glorify Christ? Does this answer promote holiness? And is this answer consistent with God's word? If it is, I think you have your answer. Does it glorify Christ? Does it promote holiness? Is it consistent with God's word? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that we can be challenged through it. I thank you that we can seek and learn and grow through your word. I pray that today you will help us to have a heart of really wanting to know your way, your will, your direction, your desire for our lives. And Lord, as we seek that, as we seek your direction, as we seek your will and your way for our lives, Lord, help us, because we have a relationship with you, because you have saved us from our sins as we have placed our faith in you alone, Jesus Christ, Lord, help us to pray, to really genuinely seek you. Help us to get into your word as you, Father, guide us step by step as a light to our path, Lord. Help us to seek biblical counsel around us, to ask other believers to pray with us, Lord. Help us to look at the desires you are changing in our hearts, the circumstances around us that you are either opening or closing doors, and it just seems to be pointing in a certain direction as we pray, Lord. Help us to pay attention to those. And Lord, help us to rely on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, just speak to us. Guide us through your word. Guide us to know how God is at work around us and convict us, challenge us, change us. Give us affirmation and peace of the direction you have called us to go. Lord, I thank you for this time that we can spend in your word together. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.